you have like an export to HTML thing where you just print out the mythos of a generated world?
I would very much enjoy that.
It's actually coming. That is coming. It's not... let me see. Is it for this release? Let me see where the fucking notes are. Where the hell am I fucking... Oh, this is the wrong game.
Oh, God. Never mind.
Your notes.
Close, wasn't it? No, let's see here. Dwarf Fortress Workshop. Dwarf Fortress Dev Sorted. And it's not sorted right now. I got all these 4,000... The unsorted plans file is... 200 kilobytes. Jesus. Alright, so...
Take it easy.
Coming. I don't remember if it's this version or not, or the next one, but a lot...
No. I want to hear.
What's going on?
That's cutting
Did
out.
Did we cut out?
Yeah.
Oh, no! Yeah, just let me know if it's cut. I got no trouble saying things like 8 or 9 times, so...
Yeah, it's just that we're both a little bit too shy to like say, oh, it's broke up, dude. You don't want to kill your buzz.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got...
Yeah, there you go.
It's like the FBI is just sitting there with a button. Can you say something important? Quick, cut it off.
Yeah, because it's like in office hours, people would ask me the same damn question, like, every single... like 10 minutes. It's like, how do you do this problem? And it's like, we just did that. It's like, you could have come a little earlier or something, but no, I just have to do it again. So I'm totally used to having to repeat myself or whatever. But I can't find... I mean,
there you go.
I swear.
It's Skype, I swear. It's like
you're doing it on purpose or something.
where the hell is... I mean, I don't know how... This British lady said to record shit, and then she talked back to me and stuff. I didn't hear any breaks. I don't know
It's weird. Sometimes it's happening a lot, and other times it's just... It's
yeah, perfect. Sometimes you can talk for like 10 minutes straight, and then it stops for like 5 seconds, and then you continue for 2 mm-hmm. seconds, and it stops for 5 seconds.
It's always the most important part.
Yeah, it's like the important parts are just cut out.
Man, yeah, it's just...
With me, maybe it has something to do with me then, like, speaking more enthusiastically and it's overloading my mic or something?
overloading the neural network.
Dude, it's too intense for us.
Okay, I'm going to search entire solution, whatever the hell a solution is. When I upgraded my Microsoft Visual thing, they started calling projects, like, solutions.
Oh, right.
It's such a corporate weirdness, but... God, where the heck is that?
Where's your synergy?
That's right.
do you have weird comments added into the source code or not, or is it just...
I got comments everywhere. Not so many that people would say I was practicing good programming practices, here it is. I found it. Shit. Okay, so for the current release. The current release, the one that's upcoming, under the section... Did it cut out?
Yeah, it cut out. Right,
it's cutting out. For the current release, under...
Yeah. So, do you know the list of remaining items on my forums? Have you seen that? The thread I mentioned in the dev notes all the time, or the dev log all the time. I mentioned like what I have this the remaining items that are for this release. So under the section handle a few miscellaneous bug reports and minor interface requests, there is a thing there that is marked that says promise to at least consider an XML dump of all the legends. So that is what I will do.
Yes. That could be like, I could print that shit out and read it on the toilet. I mean it.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
It's just that I know what I'm getting into, and I can just...
What's probably going to happen is that the XML dumps will be created. Now, these things are going to be like, I don't know how many hundreds of megabytes, because there's a lot of garbage information in there, right? It's like, this guy was born, and he became a soap maker, and he died. And there's like a hundred...
Soap makers?
What's probably going to happen is that there'll be some cool-ass utilities written by other people that can parse the dumps and then give you a whole HTML thing where you can click and get reports and see summaries of all this other crap. I mean, the people are very...
Oh,
you know, they'll do stuff. So it should be cool. So is this a sound that people are going to be making when they're listening to the podcast? It's like, well, it'll just cut out.
Yeah, it's
I'm just going to... And then this is the important... that was actually the whole thing. And that, yeah. There's going to be a lot of editing and like somebody using a voice like you. And this is about Dwarf Fortress. I don't know what I'm saying now. Oh, and there you look, the normal voice again.
No, I think I'm just gonna like, what is this? 2 hours now. Just take a random bits of the 2 hours, just mix them in together, and hope somebody doesn't complain.
Chronologically put it in, and
it's like Dwarf Fortress, except in podcast form. You know, just throw a bunch of things together, magically comes out.
Yeah, but it comes out good.
Yeah, that's the important part.
That's right. So now do you guys, I mean, is your so this is a podcast, is this for that darkdiamond.net site?
That was me. I just started working for them. It's like, you know, I've always wanted to interview you as some sort of excuse to talk to you. No, seriously. You're like my hero because
during the interview I was like, this guy is awesome.
It's for the site, but I mean, it's
yeah. So I mean, I was just because the podcast, their last one was like October 13th.
I don't know how their sites worked out before. I hear it's pretty awful, actually. But you know, I like writing and I like doing things. So it's essentially just an excuse to let me do things. And
yeah, no, there's a lot of people visiting the site though. It's looked on the Alexa numbers were about the same as my site.
So we're just as popular as Dwarf Fortress. My God,
that's right. Although, I mean, yeah, into the Alexa rankings, meaning that you are listed instead of just saying like, yeah, this site's around the millionth most popular site.
Yeah, well,
some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how professional that site is or anything. No. I think we need to cut this part out, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah. Gotta put the owner a bit under pressure, I guess. Yeah. Step their game, bro. Yeah,
we'll be like, we'll just make a site, DwarfFortressInterviews.com. Listen to Tarn Adams talk about space pigs for about 5 minutes, and then every week.
Yeah, I would listen.
I would listen to that every minute of my life. Just.
People tried to convince me to have a podcast or something, but it's so weird to do one by.
When it's
by
organized.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
I just started recording for like 5 minutes, and I was like, it does.
I make a video game, and I don't really know what to talk about.
I sit there.
I think you just need one guy just sitting there and just like ask you a question. Like,
Just
ask you about politics, and you'll start talking about food, and then you just talk about that for half an hour.
Well, the thing is, I used to do a radio show, and the thing is, I did everything on the fly, and after like 10 minutes, you run out of stuff to talk about, so you just keep the music playing. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm not gonna talk.
I tried planning for this. I have like, what is this? A Google Documents question, like 18 questions, and I was like, I swear, I don't even think I'm going to hold out an hour. And then you just start talking, and I'm like, yes! Stop talking, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
This giant outline for the interview in advance that they, where it's like, first we'll talk about this, then we'll move on to this, and then we'll discuss this, and then this other thing that I'm somewhat interested in, we will also discuss if we had time. We didn't even get through the first 3 questions of the first part or whatever, because I don't shut up. I got a problem. But
the thing is, if a interview becomes too linear, both parties will get like kind of disinterested and will just talk into the air, and it's better just to have like a sort of connection between the two parties and just like dick around for a while.
I know nothing about the science. I don't know the science of interviews at all. You guys are all like what's going on and stuff.
Yeah, the objective is just to get the other guy talking as much as possible so that you have to do the least work possible.
Well, I did journalism for a year before I dropped out of college, and I was like, well, I'm just going to go stay at home, play video games for the rest of my life. That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, no, it seems like a games journalist is a good place to be.
That people take up very high of your opinions, it's not something that interests me. I just want to tell what's out there. And
yeah, but then, gaming journalist. I always wanted to be that when I was a little. And I was like, you know, that must be the best job ever. And then, you know, I started listening and I started listening to the podcasts, and I'm like, these guys are, like, the best people ever. Why can't I be like them? and then, like, I don't know, like, last year, like, half of everybody has lost their jobs, and I'm like, you know, I think I'll do something intelligent.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with was there something where a bunch of the podcasts closed down recently?
Yeah, it was like, it was at 1UP.com. It was like, it was where I was listening to, like, all of them. I was listening to, like, 5 podcasts from them, and they just got bought out. More than half the staff got shut down, and you know, they were like the best gaming journalists out there, and they all lost their jobs, and I was like, man, I think I'll just become a computer programmer. That looks interesting.
Talk about crashing down. If I look at the video game world today, I think we're going to have a big video game crash again like we had back in the 80s.
You mean like that Atari recession?
Yeah.
Consoles.
It's funny, they talk about how much E.T. sucked and how it destroyed the world or whatever. We didn't know what the hell was going on, but we moved the ET around, and you can do this thing where you make your head go up, and then the flowers grow. So we just had little songs. I mean, we were like 7 or 8 years old, so we're just like, pee on the flowers and make them grow, and it was fun.
Peeing on the flowers, dude. That sounds cool.
No, I mean, we were disgusting little kids, but yeah, too many stories.
Cut out again for a while.
But the PC game seemed to live through that. I mean, I don't know if it was just a console that died.
Now everybody's all like, "Oh, PC gaming is dead. PC gaming is dead."
If you look at the Best Buy,
the Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy. There's one next to my house, so that's why I mention it. And there's a shelf on one side where it just has all the regular games, and then a shelf on the other side where it has all like the Nancy Drew mysteries and stuff like that. They put them all together. They put those two shelves together. Did you hear about the shelves?
Yeah, no. the pulpy games and the real games.
Yeah, the real games, the mystery type adventure games. Is that what they call them? Adventure games.
Yeah.
And so they put them together.
Put them together. Cut out.
Yeah. Oh, they put the.
This sucks. Fucking Skype. God damn it.
Yeah, Skype can eat a dick. What the hell? But you put the two game sections together and cut the shelf space by a half. I mean, so it seems like they're buying into the whole PC gaming is dead thing, and the mall here has a couple stores, and they're just kind of the 360 games have encroached on the PC games. Now there's like this one really narrow strip. Well, hopefully people still play games on computers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, in Europe at least, there are a lot of stores that still sell PC games. But then it's like, I remember I went to Germany for a student exchange, and I went to my friend, the exchange student, and I get to his house, and he has this best computer ever, and I'm like, wow, what kind of games do you play on it? And he pulls out this pack of CDRs, and it's just like, everybody pirates PC games, it's horrible. It's like, you see, at least you don't have to deal with that, you just like...
Yeah, that's another thing about selling games, is I don't have to give a shit about that, I don't have to enter into the whole...
It's always ironic how, like, you know, like galactic civilizations and stuff, they always came out, you know, without any of that DRM or whatnot, and they're the ones that are selling millions at Walmart. And then you have stuff like Spore, where they're getting lawsuits about it, about the whole security.
Yeah. Like I said, I played that game, and I still don't know what kind of weird EA shit is on my computer.
it's like secret FBI technology that cuts you off of Skype.
I personally admit that I pirate pretty much everything I play. I only buy the games that I know that are going to be good, but there are some games that I play for an hour and I know it's not going to be good, and I'm glad I did not shelf 80 euros for a game. I'm really glad I did not do this. But I buy games that very interest me.
Yeah, shit's expensive over there, right? I mean, you always hear...
Shit, everything's expensive.
Everything's expensive.
Yeah.
Like $2.50 for like a liter of gas. I'm like, what the hell?
it's like, you know, I remember when I was in America and it was all like dollar menu at McDonald's. I could buy a double cheeseburger for $1. I can eat for $4. And here it's like €10.
Oh, yeah, you get one hamburger for $1. What the hell?
Yeah, no, the food is getting more expensive over here, though. It's really shot up a lot lately. Not the fast food. That stuff's still pretty cheap. But just buying, like, juice or something is like $5 now, and it used to be $3. I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't know. Man, you know what I missed, though? I missed gallon. Gallon orange juice. You can't buy gallon orange juice here. And I swear, it's like, it completely changes your way of thinking. Because now I go to the store and I buy 10 liters. And you're like, wow, this is a lot. But then you think it's only 2.5 gallons. And you're like, man, this isn't anything.
Yeah, I was somewhat refreshed when I was over in France, though, to see the ingredients on things had like clear like they like pointed toward some kind of number where you could look it up or something. And here it's just like, yeah, it's got crap in it and stuff.
Stuff and other ingredients.
It's a surprise.
They said they might.
Man, it's like.
So that was refreshing, but.
You know, well, yeah, France is a pretty cool place. Unlike those Netherlands or I don't know what.
Well, do you have a grade in math or like higher? Well, I don't really know the English word for it because I'm just a bilingual farmer from the Netherlands. like you got a professor kind of thing for math, right?
Like a title? Do you have like PhD?
Oh yeah,
Dr. Adams. Ah, he cut out.
Yeah, I got it.
Stop cutting out.
I am Dr. Adams. I got a PhD in mathematics from Stanford, and then I became a visiting assistant professor, or whatever the lowliest thing is, over at Texas A&M University, and then I was there for 2 years, and then I left. So I guess I'm still technically a doctor, and I use that when I fly.
I am Dr. Adams.
Yeah.
Please upgrade my seat to first class, please, and I will not spit on your lowly self.
Yeah, I'm a just doctor. Just let me fly.
So yeah, no, I amuse myself with that. But yeah, most of the time I'm Mister or Miss. I get all this mail that thinks I'm a woman or something. I'm like even my old university. When I went to University of Washington, they call me Miss Tarn Adams all the time. It's like they probably look at the name, they lost the gender, and they're like, "Well, Tarn's probably a girl's name or something." I don't really know.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
I don't even know any Tarns now that I think about
it. No. So that's the Tarn is a Tarn is a. Is a word that means it's a lake formed like when the glaciers came down during the ice ages, and then when they receded, they left a bunch of little tarns in the mountains. it's a lake up in the mountains.
So you were born.
I mean, it's like being called river.
You were born to be
river.
Tarn sounds cooler than river because it's so unusual. It gives you like a kind of exotic punch to it.
Although I think tarn. It's used in Vietnam, I think, as a name because my neighbors were named like Nguyen Tarn or whatever next to me in my apartment in Seattle when I was there during undergrad. So I've seen Tarns before, but I never met a Tarn that wasn't from Asia. And then there's and that horrible movie Red Sonja had a Prince Tarn in it. Tarn is used often in fantasy. There are 3 or 4 Tarns I'm aware of.
So what was your dad, just like some huge D&D fanatic or something?
No, it was
Wait, what am I talking about? You're too old.
Nature fanatic?
No. And, they just hit the dictionary.
Just a name deviant? I don't know.
It's like, you know.
I'm lucky they didn't pick like colostomy or something, right? It's like they could have picked anything out.
Rainbow cloud.
Yeah.
Then you feel sorry for those guys, you know, that are named like, you know. You get named like Darth Vader or something. It's, you know, it's on the official birth.
I would take that name over mine any day.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, what are the parents thinking when they give their children a name like Sephiroth? I don't know. It's you must wonder what they're thinking. I don't know.
Yeah,
Already that most Americans have problems saying most names and anything that is.
Let me give you a tip. Pitch that pig game to PETA, and you got yourself a game.
You got yourself
solid gold.
That's why I was hesitant to talk about it, because there was a PETA thread on my forum where people were just like, now they want to call the fish sea kittens. What the hell is that?
Sea kittens? What the fuck?
So, it was a
Wow. your forum sounds extremely violent now that I think about it.
There's more violence. There's more violence than there once was.
I mean, when I started playing Dwarf Fortress, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go on that forum and talk about it. And then I went on there, and I'm like, they're talking about cat explosions and mining techniques and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, what is this?
Two cats.
I was like,
yeah, poor cats.
I like cats, though. I love my
cats. Yeah, no, I had cats growing up, so I don't know why they're so disrespected in my game, but that's just how it turned out. So I have three cats.
I have one in my apartment.
I have two dogs, but they're like dead. Well, not dead, but
they're dead, but they're still in my house.
So you feel sorry for it, because it's just walking around blind and stuff, hitting walls. And then
Go ahead.
And then I remember once my grandma, she came by and stuff, and she didn't know that she was blind and stuff, and she kept on laughing, and she was like, "What's wrong with your dog?" She's blind, and she was like, "Oh, sorry."
You know what would be cool? Yeah. If you could tame skeletal war deers, like... That would be awesome. I'd have a fucking army of undead, like, I'm just marching over the plains here. Fuck you, fire apes. I'm gonna fuck you up.
Tame skeletal undead deer has become friends with all.
Yeah, I hope they don't give birth or anything like that, but
that would just be wrong.
That's true. There are a lot of things in the game that are kind of wrong. Yeah, but it's only going to get worse.
That's the fun of it. It's like just because it's text-based too. It's just so you have to use your imagination. You're just imagining these sort of weird contraptions and things happening. You're just imagining what would it be like to see a bunch of dwarves lined up against the river and just instantly carps jumping out, eating all of them. And just you just play Ride of the Valkyries in your MP3 player while this is happening. And you're like, dude,
carps the size of minivans.
I really don't know what's going to happen with them next time. They're just going to be all rubber mouthed and not be able to. Do
I think that's the charm of it. If my carps can't kill all the dwarves, then there's something wrong with the game.
I think what's happened is there was this evolution. The elephant in the 2D version used to be the king of the beasts, and then in the 3D version, the carp became the king of the beasts. Now in this new version, where the combat's going to be completely redesigned and all the creatures have their own body definitions with materials and everything, it is unclear which beast is going to come out on top. I mean, there's obviously going to be some kind of winner here, but it's not clear. It'll have to come from after-action reports from the players when they're testing it out. It's like, we'll see, and then people start drawing fan art of whatever that creature is, killing dwarves and all kinds of other horrible things.
Yeah, have you seen the fan comics?
Yeah.
Some of them make me really laugh. There's some pretty good stuff out there.
It's great.
And then there's always stuff like Boat Murder,
Yeah, no, that was a great story. I was really happy with how that turned out. Then you get to... it was funny, too. I was laughing my ass off when I got to that one guy who just started swearing like a madman.
You cut out.
Ah.
I got a folder full of fan art, 120 pictures or whatever. It'll be fun to go look back at in like 5 years or whatever, take a look at it and see all the things that people have done.
It would be awesome if in Dwarf Fortress, like I don't know, in The Sims 2 at least, it would take a picture every time something monumental would happen. If you could have that in Dwarf Fortress, except like it just turned magically into crayon art or something. So
like
Dwarf has
art,
struck first volume of first part of lava, and then you just see like five doors.
Alcohol. Oh wait, it's lava. the things that what are your views towards like tile sets that people use for the Dwarf Fortress thing? Do you think it's like against your like initial idea of the ASCII art, or?
Oh no, no. I see. I don't. Matter as far as just doing quick development. I mean, I like it. I grew up on games like that, and you know, I appreciate the kind of aesthetic. And I'm trying to, you know, to the extent that I'm stuck with text, I try and develop that as best I can. You know, I try and think about which symbols to use and how to arrange them and stuff. You know, I know a lot of people really need to use graphics to play the game, and do we cut out again?
Yeah,
that doesn't matter. Yeah. At this point, it's like
But in any case, I mean, some of the tile set things, it's like if they're like an 8x8 or whatever, and it's like, well, you can't really tell the dwarves apart. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and so it's difficult to. I mean, I wouldn't use them, for example, but some people really can't abide by the text, so...
I tried with tile sets, because at first I was like, yeah, this looks cool and stuff, because all the art looks nice in the video.
Yeah.
I started playing it, and I'm like, what's up? All my words are replaced with images. Oh, good.
Well, that's my...
Yeah.
Tile set versus ASCII thing is, you know, just crap programming or whatever.
But, you know... It doesn't matter that much. I mean, ASCII is still...
I thought was pretty cool was the 3D modeler that would show the...
Yeah.
Some pretty impressive stuff made, like the huge-ass dwarven statue. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
I remember trying that on my backup computer, which is like this 1.5 gigahertz, like, you know, it has a Radeon 7000 or something. This really old thing that I got in 2003. And it was like going at half a frame a second, and I was trying to look around, and I was like, wow, this is cool, or something. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm going to go play. And then... Wait, have you kept, like, the same save file over this entire time, or do you just break them every other release and have to start over again?
I break about once a year. The 3D release had to break. I mean, it's like how do you support the whole new system? I mean, it could be done, but I'd have to spend a month importing stuff, and it'd just be a waste of time. And this next version is going to be a break because everything's changed. Now it's not going to be. There's not going to be. I mean, it's not going to come out for months, so people can still enjoy and come to terms with their fortresses and still play the old version. Certainly I'd recommend playing the old version for a few weeks after the game comes out, because it's going to be totally screwed up.
But now that I know, how can I dedicate myself to building extremely large fortresses, knowing that in several months it will die a tragic death?
Because you just
it's true. down stuff like changing the bodies completely and adding these new materials in. It's really hard to bring the old saves along for the ride. It's like I've done 40 releases or something. I don't know how many releases there are up, because you can see all the old versions, right? There's a ton of them, and I've broken save compatibility twice.
I think that's a pretty good ratio, considering the fact that like most commercial games, it'd be like, yeah, version 1 to version 1.0.1, don't use those saves.
as much as possible, just because, I mean, it is about having a persistent world that lasts over many games, and you can't really get the full value out of the game without playing more than one game in a world. So if I'm just going to change it every time, and it's not like I'm planning to stop developing either, so there's always going to be new versions. And I'm just trying my best to preserve, but who knows? Because every single this next version after this one, I'm going to be doing all that stuff with armies, and it's like there's no reason why that should interfere. But if you want to have quite a bit, how to add greater populations without destroying the feel of everyone being their own person so much. Because you want to have, I mean, there's these two conflicting things, right? You want to be able to talk to somebody and figure out exactly who they are and hear about their history and then bring them along with you, for instance, and then have a real companion that's as close to a real person as you're going to get. And at the same time, you want to see some badass thing where you've got like 100,000 people chopping the crap out of each other, right? So it's those two goals are completely at odds with each other. Yeah. Did I cut?
No. I was going to say that a thing like that is impossible for any other game other than a text-based game like Dwarf Fortress is. It would just not be possible with the technology we have today other than text.
Yeah, well, you can if you use the system as kind of zooming in and zooming out, you can abstract away and then to units and then come in to a particular battle as long as you keep your window small enough, maybe. And that's kind of how it's going to happen. Right? I can't have everyone fighting.
Right. So you just simulate what you need to, essentially.
As much information as possible. Because you don't want to lose any information ideally, but you can't do that. Like for instance in adventure mode, if you chop down a tree, say later on, and you leave and come back to that location, the way it stands now, that tree will only remain chopped down if you are at a site that it saves, like a fortress or something. Now, if you're in the wilderness, that tree would return. Now, there's ways around that, like saving that you had chopped down that tree, and you just have to balance the memory versus the realism. And so that's exactly what we were talking about with the armies, is that you want 100,000 people. It's also something you need for cities and all kinds of things. It's like right now, with 20,000 people over the entire world, if you use there's no tile size, but if you use something like a 2-meter by 2-meter tile or something, if you use something like that, then the largest maps in the game are about the size of, say, New Zealand. That's how much surface area there is. And you've only got 20,000 people there, killing each other and so on, then it's sort of like really small clan-based warfare, right? There's nothing high fantasy about that. It's just like people just hunting each other and killing down the families and stuff, and it's just like 50 on 50 or whatever. And so you want the populations to get up, you know, if you've got a place that size, you want a million people or something. And if you're going to go for that, then if you just did it initially, like say, take a game like Dagger. Am I live?
Cutting out.
Game like
that. Daggerfall.
Oh, Daggerfall, right? So, did you guys ever play Daggerfall?
Yeah, I played Daggerfall in a lot of Morrowind. So, yeah.
Well, that's where you get a distinction. Actually, that's where you get the distinction that I'd like to bring up. In Morrowind, all of the people were people. Essentially, they had scripts and everything, right? In Daggerfall, you met a ton of people. There were a ton of cities, right? A ton of cities, but it was all very cookie cutter. You meet people, talk to them, and they'd be like, "My name is Bob. I can tell you where the weapon store is," or whatever, right?
Right. It'd just be hundreds of the same towns over and over again.
Yeah. And so this is the conflict that needs to be addressed. And so instead of just flopping into one direction or another and saying, "Hey, that's how we're going to do it," we're going to try our best to maintain the reality of the people, while at the same time increasing the numbers by many hundreds of times. Now, that you can't do that the way it is now without increasing the memory beyond what computers have. So we're going to track the populations, the histories of the populations, and track about as many people as we've got now, first of all, so that there's coherent narratives all through the history. But also track the populations so that if there's a random person walking around town, they would be linked to a population at least that had the same history as the people. It's like this population lived in this city, and then 20 years before it had been attacked by goblins, and then before that it had migrated from these hills, and then they had lived in a city in these hills. But it's talking about thousands of people now. Now they all have that shared history, so what it can do with that one person you talk to is they can start dropping things about that. And also, the second you talk to that person, it can save them as a permanent person, generate their family through that population, right? So that everything still seems like it had been generated previously. Mm-hmm. But what you lose here is that when it does that, it can't create too many interlinks between them, the people that already exist, and it can't create any links between the legendary people inside the legendary people without...
You cut out there.
I cut out.
At what point?
Without.
Cut out again.
Right when you start out talking again.
Without creating like some kind of time crisis, right?
If you
can't interweave the narratives too closely, but the whole point is to have interwoven narratives. So I think the concession we'll make is that we'll have about the same number of people with really complex narratives, and then we'll have all of the other people, but fortunately, but without interweaving narratives, but two things. First of all, it'll try and keep them away from you as much as possible. Second, it will, if you do meet one, it will at least try to have an interesting narrative. It can talk about the history of the world in terms of that population and his fake family or whatever in that population, which is no longer a fake family once you talk to him. It becomes generated.
That's awesome.
That's probably the best possible solution I would have ever come up with.
This is the idea. This is the idea, to come up with the best solution each time.
obviously, yeah. Yeah, but this kind of system really is innovative in the world of video games, in my side, actually, because, well, I haven't seen something like this before.
Yeah. I think you were a genius.
just played a lot of games. Played a lot of games, thought about a lot of games, been thinking about it my whole life. That's kind of the...
Why does he always cut out whenever he starts saying something interesting?
It's like the good parts. It's like, I'm going to stop right here.
I really don't know what it is. I wonder if it's not just my tone of voice, but how I lean up when I'm talking about something I'm interested in or something.
Maybe it's the cable of the microphone.
It's not that, because normally Skype is pretty good about just transmitting all the time. I don't know. Or is it your connection? I don't know.
There we go.
I see no pop-up bubble saying like your local connection unplugged or whatever. So I got no clue. I'm on this. I mean, it could be this dinky ass little headset I'm on, because we could always try the big ass microphone and the speakers. But then I was thinking for the podcast there'd be a lot of feedback then.
I mean, the sound quality is pretty much perfect.
Yeah, it's just that you cut out.
Yeah, we got quality going on right now. So
a minor problem, but
yeah, I don't know.
Video games. Yeah.
Yeah, video.
Dwarves.
What about them video games, huh?
That's right. They're dwarves and stuff.
Entertainment.
No, it'd be cool.
And soap makers and cats and stuff. It'd be a really cool game, actually.
Yeah. Soap will actually be able to use soap in like 3 years for something.
Yeah.
And everyone will keep their soap makers alive.
0.035 or something around there.
Come up pretty soon, right? Because they get covered with so much crap, right? They just get all dirty. And it's going to be even worse now, because like if you pound someone's brains with a hammer, if you get like spattered with brain tissue, just this fucking someone's brain sitting on your face, and you're like, I can't get that off, and so the dwarves are going to clean themselves before they go to bed or whenever. That's going to be in this next version, so they won't have that crap all over themselves. Now, sometime, somehow, soap is going to be involved in that process.
And every one of those damn soap makers is going to be valuable. No more drying them.
Yeah, I might even decrease the number of soap makers that get sent or whatever.
<'Cause> No!
We're going to have to start building toilets, and we're going to have to start building showers, and blah, blah, blah.
Next thing, they want voting rights, and...
Right up there with guns is adding crap to the game, right? It's like, people are like, should you add guns or shouldn't you add guns? And then there's a whole other faction of people are like, well, are we going to have shit or not? and so that's a difficult question, because, I mean, from a disassociated perspective, looking at the game as, you know, very realistic world simulator, obviously shit is needed, right? But you know, then you start asking yourself, well, now from a game, as they say, gameplay, I'm not really sure what that word means sometimes. I use it myself, but I don't really know what it means. But just in terms of enjoying the game as a, as an exercise in thinking and so on, there's things you don't want to think about and things you don't want to do, like making toilets and making sure you've got your shit flowing into the river right and, well, and all that kind of stuff.
If you're like into shit, immersive play, I would love to do that. Make one of those fucking aqueducts, look at me. I'm doing city planning.
That's right. And so it's but there's also things where it comes up in adventure mode, like you found cougar sign. It's like, what? You found cougar sign? Yeah, cougar sign. It's a whole new material called cougar sign. And you know, it'd be flammable, I guess you could burn it. And yeah, you could kick around that inside of it for mice bones and stuff. You know, what the cougar eat. All that kind of
like,
thing.
Like owl so there's owls. Like the Fink's owl puke up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was, that's what I was thinking of, actually. I wasn't thinking of cougars. I have no experience with cougar sign.
We don't even have cougars over here.
Now, do you guys have anything over there anymore?
We got castles. We have a lot of castles. See, we're more like Dwarf Fortress than you are. I mean, I can go outside right now, go to my castle, and start digging underground, start mining.
We got...
Well, I was talking about critters.
Short people with beards. They're pretty crafty, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know how well the government would take it if I started just digging a giant hole in my yard right now and just, you know,
look,
sitting
this
there
is
being
my
like,
fortress.
Get out of the way. My caravan is coming. You just have a bunch of people cosplaying as elves coming in with their caravans.
So you have a permission to keep that many cats, but it's
two cats.
You don't understand. It's only two cats.
and then the lava will start coming up, and then they'll be like, "Oh, well, that's a bit problematic."
This is kind of a problem, sir. But fire imps.
I don't even know what a fire imp is. It's a fire imp. It lives in the lava, and it shoots fire at people.
How does it nurture itself? I don't understand.
It's a fire imp. That's all you have to know.
And there's magma mans and mud mans and old mans and lizard mans.
Mega
and
man.
Yeah, I mean you don't need to come up with a name like this is the Shalkira. It looks like a lizard man.
Yeah, that would just
but
make
you
it
just
silly.
Just lizard yeah, man. Yeah, lizard man. It's evocative. Like when you hear bat.
When you hear a bat.
When you hear bat. Batman. I don't know.
Yeah, I promise more mans in the future. The animal peoples will be represented heavily.
I think you need to start like having an evolution chart in there, so you know you start having crosses between giraffes and man. So you'll have like giraffe man, lizard giraffe man, magma giraffe man.
This is where you have to start answering these difficult questions. Like, what happens if an elf marries a dwarf, and and then what does it do in terms of, I mean, the difficult part is actually like when you take the body definition and the material definitions, and there's some alignment there between the elf and the dwarf because they have all the same parts and all the same materials. But they're of course a little bit different. And so it can merge those, but as you get further apart, it's like, and
how much further apart can you get than elephant and dwarf?
Yeah. Like, you know, oh no.
I'm cutting out.
But say you've got like a pantheon or something. I don't know how to say these words properly, because I never talk to people, right? So you have a collection of anthropomorphic gods, and they start to fuck with people, right? That's what they do. And so they take like a man and an elephant and make an elephant man, and so you want these things to happen during world generation to, like, some key tragic figure, you know, gets turned into a half donkey or whatever. And you want the game to be able to do these things, and it can do it to some extent. It's difficult to kind of do a merge where it just kind of takes all of it. It'd be like a morph picture where it morphs someone halfway into a donkey. No, what's very easy, though, is the Minotaur style and the Centaur style of cut and paste, right? It's like, you just take off this piece, stick it on this guy, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, like chimeras.
Yeah. That.
Then you're just going to build a system like that, and then you'll have a man, dwarf, elephant, giraffe, and it was just like
an alchemy mixed into like, it, and like, shit gets really complicated.
And so then, you know, it's like the first cross was just him losing an arm, but that then that arm grows a head, and then That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of cool stuff. Because I'm going to get one of the things on the future of the Fortress, which means that it's going to be done sometime in like the next 10 years rather than just being an idea posted on my webpage that doesn't have much to do with reality, is the notion of getting rid of the good and evil lands, because the whole notion of good and evil, it's like you should further specify, right? So you get rid of the good and evil lands, and I've got that list of 100, and I don't remember if it's 130, of the spheres, which are just the various aspects of whatever, right? The different things that you'd find listed after a name. After Athena, you would have like war, wisdom, and whatever, right? So those kind of things. And you could, so then the different gods that may or may not be in the game, but certainly the territories of the game itself, which are currently evil or good for no reason, would be associated to these spheres for no reason. Or perhaps a reason later on, there will be reasons, but at first for no reason. So you might have a forest that gets a high music tag, right? And then it can, first of all, it can do the thing that it already does with the gods and give it a proper name. So it just call it like the Singing Forest of Harmony or something, rather than calling it the Red Forest. Although it wouldn't always do that, because you want to sometimes leave some wiggle room there. But the forest, well, then the difficult part is if you've got 130 things, that's a lot of programming things to do. But you'd for the most common ones, the ones that you allow to happen, things like music and stuff, you could come up with things like singing trees or all the birds are, you know, louder, even something silly like that. Just all of these things, have it pull some down and then put them in there. And then that place would have a lot more character and be a lot more specific. And then when it's tied into the legends, then it would be tied into, say, some specific beast or spirit or deity or whatever you want to call it that lives there. And then you can interact with that and all that kind of thing. And that's just another one of these processes for making a kind of more, I wouldn't call it realistic at this point, but just a more fantasy-ish fantasy world, where you kind of think of what people do. Like, there's always, like, the Forest of Dread or whatever, right, and all this kind of stuff. And so you think of what the authors have done in the past, and what they're doing is essentially what I said, I think, right? You pull up the concepts you want to explore, and you think of some specific examples of that concept, and then you realize it in your region, and then you give the region a name associated to that concept. So I'm trying to mimic the literary process, so hopefully, I mean, if a lot of other people do this and put more money behind it and create games that have this procedural content, what we should see eventually is these games where you have a lot of freedom like this, where you can create a plot and just fall off whatever direction you like, and it sounds like you're reading a pulp novel or something. And then the games that have actual plots, the only ones that would be able to keep their head above the water would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Have thought behind them and stuff. Or
there
marketing,
aren't many
but
games
but thought.
Out
thought
these days that actually have thought.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. It really just is mass produced. Well,
yeah.
Coffee,
yeah, so hopefully there's this whole, I mean, it's like I'm not the only one doing procedural stuff, like everyone's doing that these days, and partially just because it saves money, I guess, but the hopefully what that leads to, though, is a higher quality of writing, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's a
big step there.
Long way off. But once that happens,
cutting out.
Something happens.
Yeah, once that happens.
That happens.
Oh my god, come on, Skype. Son of a bitch.
Once that happens. Once what? That happens. Maybe happens is a keyword or something. It's like the keyword. So once that.
Oh, no, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah?
Cutting out.
He has to be doing it on purpose now. It's
once that transpires.
Come on!
Once that transpires, then. Well, I don't even remember what the hell I was saying anymore.
Oh, man, sucks. Yeah.
About something happening, I don't know. Things happen usually, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Once the people have a quality plot generator, like people have been trying to do that for like 20 years. I know there's this thing called Storytron. I don't know anything about it. People have been trying to come up with plot generators for a long time, right? Like random plot generators, and there are a few examples I think out there. And once that's successful, then that's gonna push people to that are writing fixed stories to work harder or be devoured, right? I mean, that's just kind of a logical conclusion, I think. Yeah. And so now that's a long way off, but you never know, right? Someone could be working on something right now that's working way better than my stuff ever will. I don't know. Yeah. And so, I mean, I always vaguely worry about that, right? I mean, someone could, I mean, Dwarf Fortress kind of dropped at random, right? So it's like, I'm just waiting for someone to chop my legs off, but who knows?
Yeah, well, my only experience with random storytelling was whenever I learned BASIC, and it was like I had to do something. So I made an RPG, and it was like the worst thing ever. But it had quests, so there were essentially variations on 6 quests, and I'd do them over and over. And I got to like level 87 or something, and it would scale the monsters, and it was all the only stats were attack and defense, and I had like 3 attacks.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the fault of the quest generator, it's not that the quest generator wasn't coming up with random stuff, it's just that it didn't have a lot of tools to work with, right? I mean, the game was about killing monsters, and so the quests had to be about killing monsters, right? So it's that kind of thing. That the angle I'm going for there is, with all this crap I'm working on, a lot of people think I'm wasting my time with the materials and the bodies and stuff. It's like, the more crap I have,
it's the more fundamentals that you can work with, that you can actually base stuff on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think a lot of time with when I get there.
When you get there.
Did I cut out again?
This is just getting silly.
So a lot of
we're live.
Live from New York. It's Saturday Night Live or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is kind of a joke when I fuck up all the time like this. Let's see here. The train of thought was derailed.
Video games. But, what about them?
There's something. Okay, stories. You like stories magically are made because you don't like writing real stories, so you have to make them yourself.
There was a specific point I was making, but I don't know if any of it came across.
Something about materials. Yeah, you were saying you were building a bunch of useless things because that would make stories.
So a lot of people have said now just when you float this whole concept of a story generator, it's generally shot down immediately. They're like, well, that's not going to work, right? It's just going to be another one of these things where you either have a fetch quest, a kill the monster quest, or a escort quest, or you know, that kind of thing, right? Where it's just a list of crap that's been done a million times before. But the thing I'm trying to do here is by setting up all of this crap down below and then having these historical figures with actual histories, if they can just be given very simple motivations, then stories can arise from that, and it can get complicated, like a lot of the other mechanics in the game get complicated. Because there's these situations that already arise in the game, engineering-wise, that just happen over many levels. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, I mean, the guy made a computer already. It had a digital readout that counted from 0 to 8 or something. It was crazy. Yeah. Holy it used shit. Bridges. Yeah, it was awesome. It was this giant water computer. You just run water through it, and it had registers and gates and all that other crap. And it counted.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
From there, you just made a Turing complete machine, and from there, you just simulate everything.
Yeah, you have Dwarf Fortress right itself. That's right.
What's next? AI?
It's like Dwarf Fortress. You run Dwarf Fortress in Dwarf Fortress or something like that.
So I'm hoping using similar fundamental mechanics for the people, that it can just kind of stuff will just jump out. But we'll see. I mean, I'm not promising the world here, but I think that it needs to be attempted.
So yeah.
It's about giving people like a blank palette just to work with, and getting like entertainment from that by creating a whole like own world, like the world gets created for them, so that you actually have like a history of the character that you have or the character that you will play with, and the other characters become more interesting to actually the immersion itself will be more interesting than just. I mean,
it'd be very simple, right? It's not. I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated to get something simple started. Like I'm going to start with the war stuff. The wars are not going to start because the game rolls, you know, a 10 and says somebody has to fight somebody. They're going to start because people want to start them for a reason. And the reasons are all, I mean, they don't have to be complicated. It's because shit happened in the past or because they want some shit. That's the meaning that the territory is next to another territory with the city. There's some resource shortage they have. That's all just in a list and it just has to compare two lists, right? I mean, this is not that difficult. And Civ is Civilization's already done a lot of this stuff, right? I mean, so it's not. I mean, I know they worked hard on it and stuff, so I'm not trivializing anything. But this kind of AI gets things started, but it doesn't have to just be about starting wars and so on. I mean, everything that anybody wants or any
cut out.
Any kind.
Oh man.
It's like every time you want to restart, and it's like.
So does it seem that the cutouts come in groups then?
It's like, you know, it's like the cutouts come whenever you start talking again. It's like, you know, if you're driving a really bad car and it's sputters
like a
every time you start accelerating,
and you want to write something down, but the ballpoint keeps fucking up at the same piece.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention just because I had made a map drawer, right? It's really, really, really crappy right now, but you can draw your maps from your world generation parameters. You can just draw a map if you want to use one in particular, and then you can run the history on that, right? So what you'll be able to do later is also place towns, historical figures, you can write somebody's history and so on. So you could take your favorite book or whatever, your favorite fantasy book, set up the world there, and if you only had 20 characters you cared about, you could write off the rest. So it doesn't even need to take that long. You could just create those populations I was talking about before, and then put your favorite characters in there, give them the histories that they had in your book or whatever, but then start at any time you wanted, and then see how that plays out. Now, I've got the personality things that are in dwarf mode that are used more and more. They're not used that much yet, like the whole 30 personality facets and so on. And with the histories, it doesn't become so difficult for people to make simple decisions about their lives, the things they already decide to do, like whether or not to attack a place, whether or not to marry somebody, all those kind of things, decisions they already make. And if those decisions weren't just happening in your fortress, where people do get attached to their dwarves and so on, if they were happening at the other sites in the world with the important people, then, I mean, I think the when there's enough mechanics for those cities to affect each other, like warfare, trade, alliances, that kind of thing, just a few simple mechanics, and especially the ability to like raid each other with small groups and so on, so it's not just wars all the time, but just other things. Once there's just a four or five simple mechanics, and the stuff we've already kind of gotten dwarf mode and are continuing to work on, I mean, the world is just going to explode with stories, right? Just a few things like that, because everyone will be interacting with everybody else, and the situations that arise will just get totally complicated. And I think it's not that far away. I think just a little push on that, and it can get really interesting.
I guess in a way, you know, for me, Dwarf Fortress is kind of like, you know, what Dungeons & Dragons would have felt for me. Well, it would have been for me if I actually had enough friends to play it, but you know, it's just like, you know, four or five general ideas of how the world works, you know, just set this nice framework and then you just go out and do stuff and then things magically happen.
It's like a magical book that rewrites itself every time.
That's right. That's right. It's like one of the Page Master things with Macaulay Culkin and shit.
I fucking love that movie.
I never actually saw it.
Or, you know, it's
on Cartoon Network. Holy shit.
You know, man, it's like those choose your own adventure books. I remember when I was little, I had like, I always read those books and I have like four bookmarks because, you know, save points, and they're like, okay, here I'm going to go left because I know if I go right I'm going to die, but I still want to see what happens when I die, so I'm going to save right here and just put another bookmark. And I just have like this huge tree of decisions. And
it's like visual novels. What is like the true thing to keep you going for so long for a game? Obviously, this project is very valuable for yourself and for the others, because this is just amazing to see how it unfolds. But there must be points
in the timeline of Dwarf Fortress where you fought, like, why am I even doing this, or why am I continuing?
Well, I don't have a lot else, because there was math versus computer games is like the only real story in my life, I think. The only real conflict. It wasn't that difficult a decision. Only when, I mean, I was really fascinated with mathematics, and, you know, I obviously had to be kind of good at it to get where I got, and you know, I liked it. But, like I was saying, it's really the people aspect of it that turned me off. Not that there were any, I mean, I had no problems with anybody. It was nothing like that. But it was just the fact that you have to associate with so many fucking people. It's kind of like the last. So it's just that made it easy for me, but because those are kind of the two things I'd been doing. I mean, you do math in school, but I enjoyed it, so that was something I had been doing my whole life, and computer games were something I had been doing my whole life, and that's like, so there's never a question about you know what the hell am I doing or whatever. It's like I've already kind of accepted, you
just
know,
just go with that, the flow.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, math was definitely a path of least resistance thing for me. It's like I never had to study math or anything like that. It's just kind of did it or whatever. And I guess games are the same way. So yeah, no, it's not a difficult life looking back, is it? Well, but
sounds good to me. I mean, I suck at math.
It was some hard decision.
I think I know what's wrong, actually.
Right, cool.
I think it's Skype messing with the volume settings.
My problems.
Okay, sure. Let me give you your situation here, right?
Sure.
What if one of the let's say Peter Molyneux, creator of Black and White, the Civilization series.
What are you talking Fable? About? Fable? Is it Fable? Everyone's favorite Fable? Game? Fable?
I played the first one. I liked it. But what if he said, well, I am interested in your work, and I would like you to join my special group of special developers. Not
well, that sounds like you're joining special ed or something, but it's I mean the things that have happened so far, I've had someone from id who's just a programmer or something say, you know, he wanted me to put me in touch with people, and there was a few mid to smaller companies wanted to publish the game and so on, and I was just, you know, no to that, because I wanted to do my own thing. But I mean, there are other things where it's like, if someone wanted, I mean, these are things that aren't really practical, but if someone wanted, you know, me to be a side designer on some video game that they're working on or whatever, I that'd be cool, I think. I mean, as long as it doesn't impact too heavily on A, my time, and B, Dwarf Fortress, and, like, the things that I'm actually working on. Like, I'm not going to let anyone touch this game.
It's your mind child, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have some kind of weird anti-corporate thing, is what I'm trying to say. I don't care. It's like I'd work for them to do those things, but not if it impacts what I'm doing.
But Dwarf Fortress is essentially your baby that you want to keep a hold on forever, right?
Absolutely. I mean, my brother too, of course. But I guess my mind's half gone now. But that shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, I was running on one.
Would you call this problem your project with the help of your brother, or you and your brother's project?
No, this is my brother and I just sit and talk about the thing. I do all the programming and handle all the PR and stuff, and he's still working. So it's like, I mean, in a way, it's obviously more mine than his, and in another way, it's obviously ours together. I mean, there's not there's no kind of, I mean, we're very clear about what our different roles are and so on. So that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of the he has no public presence, basically. Mm-hmm. He writes his stories, which he puts up online, and we use those to plan the game out. And we discuss, you know, how things might go in those. But he doesn't, you know, frequent the forums or do anything like that. And he's not really familiar with the details down to the mechanics and so on. So it's in a sense, it depends on what you're interested in. If you're interested in the design of the overall design of the game, like the stuff I was talking about with populations and all that, we planned that out together, but I had to think of how to implement it. And if you're talking about stuff like, you know, what's a particular machine in the game that you use, like a water wheel or whatever, he probably didn't have anything to do with that. So it's that kind of thing where, you know, because essentially, I mean, it might be the position that people would be more interested in if they could do, you know, if they could just have something to do with games, right? Which is essentially just being a designer. I guess that's what it comes down to. Now, I just clicked my Skype. I don't. Did I cut out at all?
No, that's good. It's perfect.
Okay, that's cool. Because I was wondering, because I just saw my Skype turn to away mode, but I guess that's because I wasn't clicking it or something. That's totally different problem.
What would be your dream job apart from this? Like, apart from being paid to make Dwarf Fortress, what would be?
Okay, so just something that has, you know, kind of nothing to do with games or whatever, right?
Right. Just, I mean, you know, something out there, like astronaut.
I got a couple things that I like to do. I like playing the guitar. That'd be awesome. I mean, if I had nothing to do with games, like if I was born in 1953 or something, then that'd be something I'd be very interested in doing. And I'd be better at it because I would have been doing that my whole life, right? Because I'm not that good right now. But that's one thing I'm very interested in. I like wandering around zoos and shit. If someone just paid me to go and wander around the zoo.
That
like
would be awesome.
Guy who wanders I love zoos. I
mean, official zoo tester.
That's right. I would be a zoo tester. So that, there you go. Zoo tester is one of my ultimate job. Because I don't get to go to that many zoos because they've got the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle here. They've got Point Defiance Zoo in Tacoma. I went to the San Diego Zoo once when I was in California. I've been to the San Francisco Zoo a number of times. But there's like a whole fucking world of zoos out there, and I'm not going to get to go to most of those zoos in my life, and that's a damn shame. So yeah, no, zoo tester, all over that. Because it was weird when I was a little kid, I wasn't thinking about this that much. But when I was in elementary school or something, I don't remember. They had a job, one of those things where they're like, "What do you want your job to be?" Right. Mm-hmm. So they pass it around. Now, when I was really little, I wanted to be an architect because I wanted to make a building that looked like Pac-Man. That was just something I said when I was like seven, right? Or something. Now, after that, when I became slightly older, I said, I want to be a computer-related veterinarian. I didn't even know what the fuck that meant. But because
it sounds cool, though.
Things I like. Yeah, it's like it involved the two things I like, which was computer games and the zoo. So now I just visit zoos occasionally, but we do the computer thing. So I guess that's the answer to that question.
Zoo tester. That's the new scoop.
Oh, yeah.
Scoop of
yeah, no, and see, that's why, you know, a game like Zoo Tycoon I can play.
I like that game. I played that game a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was too money-centric in a way, because there's something weird about it. It's like, if it's got the mode where you can play and you have to watch your money and so on, and then it's got the sandbox mode, then I have trouble playing the sandbox mode for some reason. It's like I just can't get into a sandboxy zoo when there is a lot of emphasis just in the general interface and so on with the money. Mm-hmm. So if they could scrap that entirely, then I'd be able to do that. But then if I'm playing the other mode, then you have to worry about winning rather than, you know, setting up your exhibits and stuff. So that was the one kind of problem with that game for me. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Zoo Tycoon quite a bit. The other problem was that there was this one thing where you had to take a picture or something for the stupid quest that you had to do to open up some of the animals or something. So I had to open up the quest to open up the animals that I wanted to see, and so I had to do this stupid quest where you go around taking pictures with the camera. So I walked over to this bird, it's called like a spectator bird, I don't remember, I wanted the exhibit, took a picture of it, the fucking thing said, that I didn't take the picture. I took the picture like 7 fucking times and didn't say I did it. And so I couldn't play the game. Yeah, it sucked. It sucked. So I wanted to, because it would open up like all of the African animals or something, right? It wasn't quite that extreme, but it would do something like that if I had taken this picture. But it didn't work. And so I was like, now the game sucks even more. Not only do they have this money thing kind of in the back of my mind all the time, but now I've got like, and you'll never get to play with a lion or whatever. It's just like, okay, screw it. It wasn't that bad. Like I said, you could play with a lion, but it was something. It was something that I wanted to make the zoo better, and that pissed me off. Surely you can crack that shit online and stuff, but I don't download
Zoo designer.
There was a thing in Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 where you can build a zoo inside your park, and you could delete the walls, cool. And people would run around and fucking lions everywhere and shit. It was awesome.
You could do that in Zoo Tycoon as well. I mean, I think they did that specifically with the dinosaur expansion. They added the animals just being able to run around because they were thinking Jurassic Park, obviously. but you could do it with all your animals.
Clever girl.
I remember in SimCity for the Super Nintendo, I'd always play the Super Nintendo version because there would be Bowser, so you could just click on the disaster button, and I'd always send Bowser over all the time. I think people just have a tendency to want to just murderously kill everything in their games and sim games. Something completely random like that.
Well, now that we're talking about sandbox games, let me tell you, the original Command & Conquer and Command & Conquer Red Alert series, I remember spending more time in a map editor than actually playing the game. Having little dudes walk around whatever I want them to do, it's like having a giant box of army men and just fucking around.
That was awesome. I mean, we did the same thing with Doom, I guess. We spent way more time level editing than actually playing the game.
I know, it's weird. But I actually paid money for that game only for the map editor.
Yeah, we did that. I don't know if you guys remember Load Runner at all. Old game.
Load Runner.
We spent so much time on the map editor. We'd create like 100 levels, and it would be this big cinematic thing or whatever where you just go through. And some of the levels would be you just run across the screen because the walls spelt some kind of text that advanced the plot or whatever. It's always that's crazy, awesome. Crazy things.
The recent games like Far Cry 2, I spend over, I think, 100 hours in the map editor, and I think I spent like 4 in the actual game. the original game wasn't that good.
I remember Excitebike too. I always liked that. It was I suck so badly at making levels, but I always buy games if there's level editors. And there was like, what was that game by Molyneux? The Movies. I bought that game and I was like, I'm gonna make the best movies in the entire world.
And did that turn out well? Because I never played that one.
It was like if you get the
I heard it was actually pretty good.
It was okay. But like you had to get the expansion set to actually be able to like have a free moving camera or whatnot. But it was fun in that you could post your videos on their site and stuff. But then after a while you'd be like, okay, he's using the Fight 3 scene right here.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one I ever had that was anything like that was the Bugs Bunny Cartoon Workshop. And
we did horrible things with that. I had one of fucking Disney and like fucking SpongeBob one and what the hell.
Yeah. Mine was from a long time ago. I don't. It was horrible what we did.
95.
Because you could. Yeah. It was like because we. I was much before that. We were using when we were little kids. I'm going to look it up right now. What we did was we take. So you have Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny and stuff. And so there was things like it was just 2D, and. So you could have Elmer Fudd looking down into a rabbit hole and stuff. You could also have Elmer Fudd shooting his gun. So you could stick Bugs Bunny standing there or something. You have Elmer Fudd shooting his gun. But 10 frames ago, because it was all 2D, it was all very old, 10 frames ago you could take a balloon that pops. But it takes 10 frames to pop. So you stick it off the side of the screen where you can't see it. And then 10 frames later, right when Elmer Fudd fires his gun, you drag the balloon, which is now popping, you monocolor it red, stick it over Bugs Bunny's face, and it just explodes, and then you can have Bugs Bunny doing his lying down thing. And we did these horrible, violent cartoons when we were little kids, just making Elmer Fudd run around screaming that he was the Shadow Assassin or something, killing all these cartoon characters. And it was pretty horrible, but we were allowed to express ourselves in that way.
it's a very useful way to spend your time when you're a kid.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's good to do things besides playing football and stuff.
Football but, exercise? What the hell is that? I like video games. Seriously.
Yeah. That was weird. I had metabolism when I was a little kid, so I was like wire skinny until like 7th grade when I hit junior high, and then I became pretty much the way I am now. I just got a pot belly. I don't know what that is, just a metabolism thing or something. It can only get worse, though, I hear.
Oh, it's okay, because, well, you don't really have to look good to be famous and shit, but who cares if you're famous?
No, I don't have to look at anybody my whole life. I just sit here.
Exactly.
Actually, there's that thing in May on May 9th, that get together with the Dwarf Fortress people. I've been because it's kind of a tradition or something, though it's one that very few people know about, so I'm not sure if it's a tradition or not. Even among the people that are going, is that I haven't shaved for like 4 months now, and I got another 3 months to go, so I can look like a dwarf. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't even trimmed or the patchy hair on my cheeks or anything, right? So I mean, I look like a dirt ass dwarf, but like a dwarf with no dignity. But
dwarves that live on the surface. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. No, I should come frothing and start raving mad, and it's like I'm working on a project.
Okay, Tarn, go back to bed. Really, I'm working.
Have you ever had to deal with like people who would LARP like Dwarf Fortress situations or anything like
that's just silly.
No, that was not. I mean, we only had one get together, right? The game hasn't been out that long, and it was fine. Everyone there was reasonable. There was no one. I mean, people wearing the guy came with a shirt that said a tag or something that said semi mega beast or something. I think that was the extent to which people role played there. I mean, who knows? Next time. There's always time for someone to be wearing a big fat suit and a giant beard. And
the elephant dwarf is going to appear.
Fucking fire imps!
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Oh, man, I know that we were noisy. We caused trouble.
Jeez. If I had money, I would go, but...
Yeah, no, it's expensive.
But I don't have money, so I won't go.
I don't have money.
Now, are you guys working? Like, what do you do now? Is this all for this one? I mean, you guys do a bunch of different things.
No, I don't even work for this blog.
No,
I'm actually just a sound recording guy, and I just kind of really, really rude and just bumped in because this was too important to, actually let go.
Yeah, I'm a student, but I work for this site in my free time, so whatever.
I'm a college dropout. I don't actually do anything.
See, we're all
Free time.
Yeah, I have too much free time to the part where I wake up at like 3 a.m. and go to bed at like 5 p.m.
Tiny should just move over to the Netherlands with him and then just live off a social welfare. And then.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like me, bro. You can be like.
That's right. No, that would work for me. That would work for me.
It works for me.
I don't know if they accept people like me, though. I need to get my citizenship or something, right?
Just marry some Dutch woman and then shoot her.
The only thing you need in here is like learn the language and you're set.
that requires effort, though.
Learn a Western language, like Western European.
I used to speak a little bit of Spanish, but everyone in America speaks a little bit of Spanish.
Yeah, just like we have to learn German.
So
I couldn't make it. I mean, when I was in France, when I got out of the train station, I was stuck down in Marseille, I didn't know how. I mean, I was stuck in the train station forever, because no one was going to come pick me up for like 6 hours or something. I had to take a leak, and now of course you can't take a leak in France for some reason. There's no way to do it. They got like they lock. It was like one in the morning, and all the pay toilets were locked, and there was no alternative for me.
Like
and so I, Yeah, so I went out and of course I wasn't expecting that, so I totally hadn't read up or anything, so I totally wasn't expecting that, so I had no kind of willpower to hold it or whatever, right? It was all broken down already, and so I was wandering around looking desperately for some kind of ad hoc solution that would probably get me thrown in jail, right? So I bumped into the security guard. Which is, of course, in this situation, not necessarily a good thing because he's kind of who you want to be farthest away from. But I was talking to him, asking if there was some alternative for a bathroom, and he spoke French and Spanish, and I spoke English and a little bit of Spanish. So we managed in Spanish to tell me about this bar down the street. So I left the safety of the train station, wandering around who knows where, and I walked into this bar. And I guess it was an Albanian bar or something, because they weren't native French or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, it was pretty clearly an Albanian bar. And they were just looking at me like, you know, what the fuck did you just walk into our bar for? And so I put on my biggest dumbass shit face tourist grin and just started saying toilet. It was awesome. And they eventually they're like, you know, we're either going to kill this guy or lead him outside or let him use the toilet. And so they let me use the toilet. Very nice. It was awesome. They let me into the toilet. But I didn't know how to flush their toilet. It was some kind of weird ass thing. So I kept pulling the light switch over and over, like this light thing was hanging down or something. I was just fucking confused out of my mind and desperate to go to the bathroom. And then they eventually nicely led me out of their bathroom and everything and kind of gave me this step by step. So I eventually got out of there, but then I was happy, and I knew better than to expect to be able to go to the bathroom in France anywhere. So it was pretty cool, though. We went down to those cliffs down in southern France or whatever. It's like the Clonk or something. I don't know how to say that name, but it was really awesome.
Even if
down there,
don't know how to say it. Trust me. Yeah. You just make some cool shit up, like herp a derp.
Yeah,
come on.
I don't know. Look, yeah.
Conquer you.
It was cool. It was really awesome. Yeah. Just that one stumbling block, that's all.
How to use a toilet, yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never understood that, why at train stations you had to pay for to use the toilet. And I was like, what? First time.
So yeah, the staff there are really hardcore about handling that too, because I would walk up to the staff and do my very best French for toilet. I don't even remember what it is anymore, but I would say that word, and they would just be like no, and just wave me off, just like, you know, go piss in an alley somewhere. And yeah, that sucked, but yeah, no, I didn't have an accident, no problem, no police. And they must be used to that, too. They must just have a special area to put tourists that are peeing all over the place.
I guess. Over here, the police usually just, like, you know, not in the evening, but, like, when tourists are confused and, like, oh, I gotta pee, just usually just, you know, like, close both eyes and just, oh, we're not seeing you. Just go to the leak in a dark alley or something.
Please help you break the law.
Most of them do, but they're pretty nice over there, I guess. Is there any other country you would wish to visit?
Oh yeah, it costs money and it's not a high priority thing for me. But I'd like to go everywhere. I don't have anything particular in mind though, because everywhere I go, it's been cool. So I mean, I've just been to Canada and France and sort of to Mexico, meaning that when my family and I, this is the, yeah. No, well, yeah, sure, but actually when we were about 10 years old, I was in Arizona with my parents and my brother, and we were down in the desert there, like out in the middle of fucking nowhere, and we got to the fence. There was a fence. It was like a chain link fence, and there was a big hole in it. So we went to the other side and took some pictures and came back. So I went to Mexico.
Bronco, we're in Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not exactly the full visit, but
yeah, you didn't miss much.
Well, it is Mexico, so you were there. And nobody can ever take it from you.
Well, there's lots of cool stuff in Mexico. You go all the way south down to the Yucatan Peninsula. There's stuff there.
Good food.
But, yeah, I like my Mexican food.
Good food, but, good music. I kind of like the people.
Yeah, so you're well-traveled.
Well, I never left the European continent other than Africa, but I kind of like all people, except when they're gays, and I don't like them, but yeah, whatever.
That's right. Yeah, no, it'd be cool to travel around, but I doubt I'll ever get the chance. Yeah. Might go back to the San Diego Zoo sometime, or some other large zoo.
Oh, don't
That's
worry.
About it, though.
Just pretend to be in Africa. Look, lions. Yeah.
You just drive in with your car, you just drive into the gates, be like, ah, it's like I'm on a real safari, just taking the pictures.
They have that place in San Diego. I didn't go to that place. There is a place where you can go around like that, this giant place.
I know there is a zoo over here, which is like a dome, and you go in there, it's like hot as a desert, and like, it's pretty cool.
You got scorpions and stuff just crawling all over the place.
Like dead tourists and like wheelbarrows. We got one, Ed. Yeah, okay. Put him over there.
Let's see. Sure. That's 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. 1:30. I don't know how to read time anymore.
Oh, that's right.
What time is it over there?
It's like 4:26 p.m.
Wow.
We lasted.
We're from the future.
That's right. That's right. It's like a whole other day over there.
February 20th. Holy shit. You gotta do good today. Ugh.
Yeah, I've kind of lost track of... Yeah. Totally lost track of what day it is, because it doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really have no idea what day it is when people ask. Unfortunately, they don't ask me that often. They know better. But
it's funny when I think it's Monday and it's like Friday. No, it's the weekend. It's like, yeah, it was weekend yesterday, right?
What sucks is that places close on the weekends and stuff sometimes, and places have different hours, and I never know... Like
you just go and you hope it's open one time.
Yeah. I've made that mistake before, going to a place that was closed on the wrong day, and I mean, I don't have a car, so I had to walk for 20 minutes to get there, and it's just like, whoops.
Really? Yeah. So I don't have a car though, because I don't have my license yet.
Well, Europe actually has like things like mass transit and stuff, right?
We got pretty good mass transit. We got like buses every 4 minutes and stuff like that.
There's nothing here, nothing at all.
You got your bike. Just take your bike and
it's
right off.
Culture shock for me, actually.
Yeah, I don't have a bike. I used to have a bike, but it started growing spiders and stuff because I never used it. I just liked walking. I lived about a couple miles from Stanford when I was down there, and I'd just walk into school every day and back. That was kind of like my form of exercise as well. But you also just, when you have things to think about, like the math projects and the computer games, it was essentially like working or whatever, just walking around. But, I mean, that was fine with me. But then, like I said, when I got here, I mean, walking's not practical anymore.
Yeah, you get death threats from little seniors or whatnot.
Yeah, what the hell? It's like, there's a lot of drunken accidents around here, too. I guess the town right next to here is the crystal meth capital of Washington State crystal or whatever.
That's beautiful.
It's like a sign.
Yeah, no, this
we fly high in multiple ways.
Yeah, I know this place is pretty fucked up, but it's not. Yeah, no, it's not.
How
that
did
bad.
You end up there, though?
Oh, this is where my brother lives here, and he lives here because my parents live a bit away from here, and he went to school, came back, some things happened, whatever. So he lives around here, and they live out in the woods, though. They don't live out. Like where I live, which is like a strip mall. So their place is really nice. You can see the mountains, and there's cool mountains here, right? And you have in the northwest, like just giant volcanoes jutting up out of the mountain range and stuff. And it's really cool. And whatchamacallit, but yeah, out here in the strip mall place, you can still see the mountains, which is cool, and there's lots of pine trees and stuff, and other types of trees and stuff, but the people, yeah, and it's like most people in Silverdale are cool, but you need everybody to be cool for the town to be good, right? And so it's walk around town and just have people yelling at you and stuff. I don't get it. I mean, it was really surprising to me, because having grown up on the West Coast and in the Northeast, you just always hear about the South, right? That's what you hear about. As far as people, it's like, oh yeah, 10% of people in Georgia are on parole or probation, and I think that's true though. But and so you just think like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of dirt ass communities down there. But when you actually get down there, it's very nice. Speaking as somebody who wouldn't experience racism, for example, I don't know how it is down there, but from my perspective, I mean, it was fine. And then here, my God, Because I was never yelled on the street anywhere, except once in Seattle. I mean, sure, but that's a city. I mean, you expect crap, but
people are
man. Yeah, it was funny. The guy just drove by and was like, "Hey, hey!" And my brother and I were walking to classes. This is when we were both going to University of Washington, and I looked at the guys in the car, and they were just like, "Hey, hey!" They started throwing pastries at us, just throwing pastries.
Yeah,
just throwing like donuts and stuff. It's like they must have spent a lot of money on that.
And thanks, bro. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And so they just like bounce off my jacket and shit, and then they just drive off, and it's just like, well, goddamn.
But here it's paradise.
Here it's just abuse. It's just abuse. So
I
it's like
even get that.
Because like,
he just because you were walking, he was calling you out.
Yeah. I mean, they just got pissed off at the college kids or whatever, or they were college kids, they were frat boys or something. I don't know. People start shit all the time.
Very intelligent people.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, but here it's just these dirt ass individuals. I have no idea what the hell is going on, and because we used to walk, my brother and I used to have this route where we'd do like a planning walk where we just talk, hash out ideas, much like this, just walking through the trails, because there's this nice nature trail here called the Clear Creek Trail. It goes through a marsh and some trees and stuff, and it's about a mile long or something. There's various marsh birds and little critters and stuff, so it's cool. And there's hardly anyone there most of the time, especially at night. And so you can walk around the trail and plan things out, but then, it's just one too many times walking by the entrance of the trail and having people drive by and threatening your life that you're like, well, maybe let's not walk on the trail anymore.
What kind of situation do you live in? Is like just trees and the road, or is it actually like an urban area?
No, it's like why do they have strip malls over there? People have been to America.
Not really.
Strip malls.
It's like just essentially. I don't know.
It's hard to explain, right? It's like a road with a bunch of crappy stores in parking lots. It's like going down a road with say four lanes. On the left and right, there's just parking lots, but instead of like a mall or mom and pop stores or something, it's just fast food, payday loans, but maybe a clothing store, like a hardware store or something. Just forever. Yeah. just forever and ever. Well, and that's what this town's like.
I guess you could call that like the inner city, but that would not be.
It's not quite the same because there's no housing.
It's just dead, straight line with a bunch of buildings. I mean.
So you live in a store or.
Well, I live away from the main road because there's the main strip. That's kind of why they call it a strip mall, I guess. It's the main strip of the town, the main drag, main road or whatever. It has all that stuff, and there's apartment buildings set away from that, and so then I just live in an apartment. I mean, it's not unlike the places where I lived down in California. Well, California is like a giant strip mall. The whole state is just like, if you fly over it with a plane at the Bay Area, it's just like this giant gray. I mean, there is no color. It's just this gray void around the bay. And then you land in there, and you're like a giant strip mall, except for the cities themselves that have high-rises and various stuff. But the rest of California is like a giant strip mall. And I just live in an apartment, and it's normal, but it's just, and it's not really the strip mallness though that's the issue, because you walk down the street in California, and no one fucks with you, but here in Silverdale, yeah, I don't know, man.
I really don't know. That's really like weird. It's like a niche, like of people just fucking you over.
Yeah. I don't understand it at all.
They just because you're the new guy.
Yeah, it's not that small a town. I mean, it's a pretty small town, but it's not like where everyone knows everyone's name or whatever, or anything
like
that.
One of those scary villages.
Yeah, it's not. Like, it's nothing
fart,
like that.
Farmer Joe will know it because because your neighbor heard it and he told him and whatever.
Yeah, it's just it's nothing like that. But it's just like it's just. I guess it's because I think my location might be at a nexus of several high schools. There's also a nexus of Navy bars around here, there's people There's people getting pulled over all the time. They just got cops planted in the parking lots waiting to arrest people, and there's all these drunk drivers and stuff. And then there's the I guess those are the main issues, is the Navy bars and the high schools, and. Yeah, no, it just all comes together. It all comes together. But Yeah, I don't know if Google might be getting. It's got that street view, right? I mean, it might be. It might get to the point where you can kind of drive down my street and see what a strip mall looks like.
Yeah, I heard about people complaining about that street view because it was like a breach of privacy.
Yeah. I mean, you just see people's faces and stuff, and they recognize themselves and everything.
Take it easy, because everybody can go there anyway. So,
Once I was in Street View, and I saw like two kids role playing outside with like poker swords and stuff. And you, like, since they were taking multiple pictures, you'd see their expressions change every time they'd see the truck, and it's like, oh, they're doing their thing, and then they'd look at it, just staring at it.
Is it like have you seen the truck? What does the truck look like? Is there like a giant Google truck?
It's like a giant truck, like a giant white truck, and on top of it, there's just cameras all around it. This kind of like, you know, those trucks with huge loudspeakers on them, except they're cameras. So just driving out there, this white truck with a bunch of cameras on it, and just taking pictures.
Yeah, I just Google imaged them, and they show these weird trucks with these giant cameras on them and stuff. And they've got them on regular cars now too, but it looks like it has a periscope or something. This is
it's
weird.
Like a submarine. Oh, have you seen this comic? Hold on, I'm gonna send it to you in a chat. This one. It was posted
this
on
is advanced.
the image board that we have.
Let's see here. How do I? Okay, I see the link. Now, how do I get at the? Oh, there it is. I got it. Copy selection. I'm gonna paste it. Aggregation substance kill. I don't understand the last part. No, they burned the entire world. Again.
Yeah, they breached the lava point and it just flows over.
Yeah, those poor goblins, they're just sitting there. And they're, yeah, it's weird how it hits the ponds and just makes them steam, but they never actually go away.
Magic.
I guess dwarfs just like alcohol, I guess.
Yeah, well, they need it to get through the working day.
Obviously.
Well, if you don't give your dwarves alcohol, they start to work slower.
Really?
You can check their little profiles, and all of them will say this dwarf needs alcohol to get through the working day. And now, when it says that, it'll say needs alcohol to get through the working day. Now, if they've had alcohol, it'll just put a period. But if they haven't had alcohol in a while, it'll say, and is starting to work slowly due to its scarcity. And then after that, it'll say, and really wants a drink. And after that, it'll say, and has gone without a drink for far, far too long. And then after that, it will say, I can't even remember the last time he had some. And as it goes up, they will start to kind of double the times of their jobs or whatever. So, yeah, you need to keep them drunk. It's really not teaching the kids the right thing. But.
Who cares? It's dwarves. You don't want to be like a dwarf.
That's right.
Actually, you want to be, because they can work pretty good. They're strong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember when in fantasy fiction dwarves became a bunch of Scottish alcoholics, but it happened somewhere, right?
Well, the thing was that in Scottish, it's also Scandinavian, since, you know, it's like the same people.
I'm just talking about the accents they're generally shown with, right? They don't usually sound like the Swedish Chef or something. they but
the thing is that they are from Scottish folklore and also from the Nordic folklore, and mm-hmm. they both drink alcohol because they like to brew alcohol. And well, I guess
okay, yeah. So that's traditional. It's traditional then, because
yeah.
I Because I don't, it doesn't seem so much like that in say Tolkien's dwarves, but then in the movies and in all the computer games, a bunch of drunks, a bunch of Scottish drunks.
it's also because people used to be smaller in those areas, smaller and stouter. That's where the word stout comes from, as in beer. And it's because those. It's true. It's because the. There's people made like very potent type of alcohol, so that's why they usually refer to as dwarves drinking alcohol.
Short people. Wow, I did not know this piece of trivia.
The more
it's important
know.
To learn about the world. That's right.
Okay.
Oh man.
I think I need to go to the restroom, and we've been holding out for 3.5 hours, so...
Yeah, no, it's kind of like I was in France right now.
It's like a conference call, yeah.
It's like, yeah. So, I guess we'll just wrap it up now or something through magic.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Now, this has been one of the most interesting conversations I've had in my entire life, so...
That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, and I hope you enjoy trying to find... any kind of sentence fragment that could possibly work and string them together so it sounds like I'm saying what I said.
Yeah. Well, I'll figure out something.
It'd be like saying, I really like Dark Diamonds. I read it every day.
I think I could find those words out there somewhere. Well, yeah. Thanks, and I have...